David Frischberg writes songs with clever lyrics on such improbable subjects as an attorney named Bernie and former baseball player Van Lingle Mungo. On our last show, Frischberg played some of his songs and talked about his transition from pianist to singer-songwriter. He's back at the piano for part two of our conversation, but before he performs, I'd like to play something from his new album, Can't Take You Nowhere, something that shows off his piano playing. Some of the high points of your career as a pianist before you started writing songs?
Well, I guess the high point of my career was when I lived in New York in the 60s and kind of saw all my dreams come true and got to play with all the great jazz musicians I'd ever dreamed of playing with, notably Al Cohn and Zoot Sims and their band at the Half Note for years in New York, and got to play and make records with such as them and Jimmy Rushing. And then I got to play with a lot of my heroes like Ben Webster and Buck Clayton and Wild Bill Davison and Edmund Hall and the people at Condon's, and I got to play for singers that I admired so much, like Irene Krall.
You know, you're the pianist on one of my favorite records, which is a Jimmy Rushing album called The You and Me That Used to Be. And on it, I mean, he's a blues shouter who sang with Count Basie. This is an album mostly of standards. And on it, he sings a very unlikely song for Jimmy Rushing, by Mia Bistichene.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a great recording. I was wondering if hearing him sing that kind of changed the meaning of the song for you.
Well, he and I selected the repertoire for that
song. Did you select that with him?
For that album. And he picked by Mia Bistichene. He suggested it, and I was taken aback. I had no idea. He said, "I've always liked that tune. Let's do it."
Did you try to talk him out of it?
Not at all. He had never recorded it before, and he always said he always wanted to. I'm so glad, Terry, that you mentioned that album, because that to me is an unforgettable experience to make that album. And one of the things that made it so unforgettable for me was that recording took place. On my last 2 days in New York, I was packing up my apartment and everything, all my belongings, and getting ready to move to Los Angeles. And after we finished recording that morning, I jumped on an airplane and was gone. So when I listen to that record, I hear myself playing, and I remember my state of mind at that time.
Well, I think we should listen to just a bit of that record. Now, I should mention that this album is about to be reissued on compact disc, but I don't think it's out yet, so I think what we'll have to do is listen to my old scratchy copy of it.
Of all the girls I've known, I have known some. Until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came in sight, dear, my heart grew light, and the world seemed new to me. You really swell, I have to admit you. Deserve expression that really fit you. And I've racked my brains hoping to explain the things you do to me. By Mere Miss Duchesne, please let me explain. By Mere Miss Duchesne, me that you brand.
You know, you mentioned that album was recorded during your last couple of days of living in New York. Then you moved to Los Angeles for a while, and now you live in Portland, Oregon. You have a really nice song about missing New York called Do You Miss New York?
Yes, I wrote that on the occasion of returning to New York after I had been gone for about 3 or 4 years. And I came back to appear in New York and do my songs, you know. And so I wrote that for my friends back there to let them know that, yes, I still miss them.
Would you play a verse of that for us?
I'll play a little bit of it.
Yeah,
yeah, let's
great.
See. What's a good spot to come in on? Do you miss New York? The anger, the action, does this laid-back lifestyle lack a certain satisfaction? Do you ever burn to pack up and return to the thick of it? Or are you really sick of it, as you always say? Do you miss the pace, the rat race, the racket? And if you had to face it now, do you still think you could hack it? And so on. It gets goes on and on from there.
It's a nice
reaches
song.
Reaches a particularly maudlin climax.
Well, do you still miss New York?
No, I never did. I just wrote the song as just kind of a gesture. I never have missed New York. I never looked back once.
You know, I just can't believe anything that you sing anymore.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that because it's a kind of a tempting proposition today that when you hear a singer, and this didn't used to be that way, when we used to hear Bing Crosby or Perry Como or Doris Day sing, we never would think that they were singing their actual own personal sentiments. But I guess it must have been since Bob Dylan or something that now when we hear somebody sing a song, we figure that's the way he really feels about things. You know, his heart is really breaking.
But that's a really nice point, that we do expect that all songs are autobiographical and confessional. And so you just write songs in personas of different characters.
Excellent. That's exactly what I think, Terry. The more I look at my songs, the more I understand that each one of them is a kind of a character piece.
I know that Frank Lesser is one of your favorite songwriters.
Yes, he is. Uh-huh.
What makes him that? What do you love about his songs?
Oh, I love the way he was a fearless melody writer, absolutely fearless. And a lot of people kind of overlook that in Frank Lesser and think of him as a clever lyric writer, of which he was, much more than a clever one. He was also a guy that could bring all kinds of vernacular to lyrics and make
exactly,
it sound so
yeah.
natural.
Mm-hmm.
You knew the character just by the choice of words that he would use in a lyric.
Would you play one of his songs for us?
Well, let's see. I always like this one. I see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. I believe in you. I believe in you. And so on.
I really like that song, too. I'm glad
yeah.
you chose to do that one.
Well, I like it especially because I'll never forget how it was staged with Robert Morris, who I saw in the show, How to Succeed. He was shaving in the mirror when he sang the song. And when you know that, the song really comes to life in a different way, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. Instead of being a compliment to someone else, it's total narcissism.
That's right.
Did you ever wish that you lived during the days of Tin Pan Alley when there were so many like great singer-songwriters?
Yes. I don't sit and brood about it, but I do sometimes think to myself that if I had been born 25 or 30 years earlier, my songs would be actually in the mainstream of the musical consciousness, and I'd be getting all that movie work, and I'd be writing those movie songs, and I'd be getting to write with people like Mercer and Hoagy Carmichael. And I think to myself, gee, that would have been a great time to live. I would have enjoyed that a lot. But then, of course, I never would have played with Al Cohn and Zoot Sims.
Yeah.
It balances out, you know?
Dave Frischberg, it's really been fun to have you with us. Thanks so much. And can I ask you to play one final song for us, one of your own?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a song I wrote for Mary Tyler Moore to close one of her shows. This is you. This is real. This is truly the way you feel. You can run and you can hide. Oh, but someday, someplace, we each of us winds up face to face with that little voice inside.
David Frischberg performing from the studios of NPR station KUOW in Seattle. His new album, Can't Take You Nowhere, is on the Fantasy label. This is Fresh Air.